Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Andrew Cole.
So the title this morning is Go With Power. Everyone say that, go with power. Not go the power, because we don't talk about football in church, especially at the moment. And we definitely don't talk about Carlton. So before Pentecost, wow, I missed out on the launch of the new screen, but that's pretty cool, eh? Wow. I was talking to the hosts the other week, and one of the complaints, well, not complaints, one of the constructive criticisms was that they couldn't see their notes because it was dark up here. I tell you what, it's like a spotlight on there now with that thing behind you. If you can't see it now, wow. So before Pentecost, the disciples were the same men who walked with Jesus, who ate with him and witnessed his resurrection. They had heard every parable, watched every miracle, and stood face to face with the risen Lord. It's quiet in here this morning. I like rowdiness, so if you're a baby, you can cry. If you're excited, you can shout amen, whatever. But I like some things. Hey, by the way, we married Jake and Karen yesterday. It was a wonderful, wonderful time, a perfect day. And we had met some great people there that came out for Noah's dedication, and especially his grandma. She wants to come back. She wants to capture some of our young people and take to the Anglican Church in Kapunda. So we've barred her from coming. But yeah, they're on fire, I tell you. Age is not a barrier. She was up and about. So she was praising God for their union and the love that we'd shown to them as a family, which is magnificent. So thank you. They're feeling absolutely blessed. Back to this. So they were the risen Lord, yet they were still hiding behind locked doors. Knowledge alone had not made them bold. This is the disciples. Memory alone had not made them missionaries. Then the wind came. Then the fire fell. And the same trembling group that had been hiding behind the locked doors burst out into the streets of Jerusalem, preaching Christ with such authority that 3,000 people got saved in a single day. That's pretty good. It is a good day. I like that. It's always a good day when someone gets saved, but it's a very good day if 3,000 get saved. That's the difference that Pentecost makes. Pentecost is not a story that we're going to remember. It is a power that we receive. Today, it's not simply about honouring something that happened 2,000 years ago. Starting to think I'm Nacho Libre. We are stepping into the same promise, the same spirit, and the same commission. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If you notice the order, it's the power first, then the witness. Jesus didn't say, "Go and try harder." He said, "Wait. Wait until you are clothed with power from on high." The Christian life was never designed to be lived on our own strength. And if you are living on your own strength and you're struggling in your own strength, then maybe just stop for a moment. Stop and think about what we're talking about this morning. And you might find that some of the things in your life absolutely change. The Great Commission was never meant to be carried out in human ability. The Holy Spirit is not an optional extra for the spiritual elite. It's not just meant for some, it's meant for all. He is the engine of the Christian life and the fuel of the kingdom of God. If we're doing a discipleship course at the moment, and last Tuesday, for those that were there, we discussed the kingdom of God. We discussed kingdom and expanding kingdom. And there was some great insight and great understanding of what that means, because sometimes we can get lost what kingdom is, because it becomes this nebulous great thing out there. I'm not about the church, but I'm about the kingdom. Okay, so is the church not a part of the kingdom? Am I not doing kingdom business? I'm not about local, but I'm about kingdom. I want to demystify what kingdom is. Bring it down from where we've put it, where it's never meant to be, and understand that we are expanding kingdom here. That this church is a part of kingdom. That you are a part of kingdom. That what you do and what you say and how you encourage, how you share your faith is kingdom business. So it's time to actually get rid of some of these sayings that we have, that we make them so elitist, we put ourselves on a platform above everyone else. And I'm not just saying, look, just let's all be the same, but let's not drag people down to a place that we can't achieve. You can achieve it because you are it. You are a part of the kingdom. You have the Holy Spirit. You're a part of the God's family. If you believe in him and you receive him this morning, it's as simple as that. It's been made that way. And a part of what I loved about our covenant series is we tracked it all through the Old Testament to this very day, of how God is all about redeeming. The whole story of God is about redemption and about giving us things and about making a way where there wasn't a way. Okay. Why am I hearing you more this morning? The Spirit who came on Pentecost is the same Spirit who lives in you today. And he fills you with one purpose: to advance the kingdom of God and spread the gospel with power. Yes, amen. Perfect. Come on now. Who is that child? Bring her up here. That's amazing. Put her on the front row. That's what we need. Or him, I'm not sure. Yes, distracted me now. This morning, we're going to look at three movements of Pentecost power. Three things that the Holy Spirit gives every believer who is willing to go, because we need the power to go. That's the bottom line. We need the power to go. So the first point is the power to be filled. Everyone say filled. In Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I just sort of just highlight that point there just for some that's unsure. Pentecost begins not with going, but with being filled. The disciples didn't manufacture power. I'll just say that once more. I don't know why I have to keep repeating. The disciples didn't manufacture power. We don't need to manufacture the wind. We don't need to do these things. There is enough power in the Holy Spirit without me blowing in a microphone and making you do things. I'm sorry if that's upsetting you this morning, but I am sick of seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ put in a way where it is just weird and it just turns people away. I'm all for miracles. I'm all for healing. I'm here for prophecy. I'm here for the hand of God to move in a mighty way. I want God to move. I want us to shrink back and him to come forward. But I have been a Christian since 1987. And I tell you what, we cannot manufacture the true, authentic power of God. It is God's power, not ours. He can use us. We can be the conduit of that power. He can use our willingness to go and to pray, and he can fill us with boldness. And that's what we're talking about, going with the power of the Holy Spirit, not trying to manufacture something on our own. I'm sorry if that offended you this morning. I'm not meaning to, but I really want us to be an authentic, faith-filled church. that can receive the power of the Holy Spirit and see us go and be filled with this power so we can go and make a difference, because there it's not about you and it's not about me. The reason we have this power is the power to spread the good news, to give us the boldness, which is my second point, which I'm not there yet, to go, which is my third point, which I'm not there yet either, to go into this world and present the gospel and for them to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because the Holy Spirit is there to reveal all truth. Does anyone know what real all truth is? It's Jesus Christ. His primary role is so that he can reveal Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that came to die for you and me. He's the one that made the way where there was no way. And under no other name shall we be saved. And we sang it this morning, for who the Son sets free is free indeed. They did not strategize their way into revival. They surrendered their way into it. They were in one place, in one accord, in one expectation that what Jesus promised, the Father would deliver. They did not have to manufacture it. They did not have to play a video. They did not have to try and force it to happen. It just happened. They were asked to wait, and that's what they did. I had heard and seen and read a little bit about it. There was actually 500 people that were asked to wait. Some couldn't stay the course, and it was left with 120. Are we willing to stay the course when God says wait? Are we prepared to be obedient when he says wait to wait? Or are we wanting to say, no, actually, I don't want to wait any longer. God, you should have performed your miracle before now. And if you're not going to do it, then I'm going to try. And if I don't try or I can't be bothered, then I'll just walk away and say that you are not true or not real. Actually, when God says wait, wait. Wait. The Father would deliver, and he did. The wind that filled the house is the same Spirit that fills the believer. The fire that rested on each one of them is the same fire that rests on you. Every believer in this room has been given the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. But here's a question. Are you filled? Or are you simply familiar? Familiarity with the Spirit is not the same as the fullness of the Spirit. Paul commands us in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. And that phrase there in grammar is continuous, is a presence continuous, which means it keeps on being filled. It's like ask, seek, and knock. Ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. What's the last one? Knock and keep on knocking. Well, this is saying be filled and keep on being filled. It's not just a one thing. Keep on being filled daily, continuously, hungrily. There's a good word for you this morning. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You cannot pour out what you have not received. You cannot give away what you do not carry. Before you go, you must be filled. Something that we can apply to our lives this morning is stop trying to do God's work on yesterday's anointing. Yesterday's manna will not feed today's mission. Come back to the upper room. Wait, ask, receive. Heaven is not stingy with the Spirit. Jesus said to the Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask in Luke 11:13. Ask boldly, ask expectantly, and ask today. My second point is the power to be bold. Everyone say, be bold. So we have the power to be filled and now the power to be bold. In Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word boldly of God, not with. When the Holy Spirit fills a believer, fear loses its grip. Peter, the same Peter, and I love Peter. Peter's my favourite because he's such a goose. He just does everything and then tries to get out of stuff that he shouldn't have done in the first place and then feels really sad about it, and it's up to Jesus to help him all the way. The same Peter who denied Jesus three times before a servant girl stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached Christ. You know, it's actually not true what I just said there. They all stood, but one stepped out. See, everyone can stand, everyone can shout amen, but when one person actually comes forward to speak, that's boldness. That comes from the Spirit of God. He stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached Christ crucified to the very crowd that had crucified him. What changed Peter was not therapy, not time, not training. It was the Holy Spirit. The boldness of the early church was not a personality. It was not charisma. It was not natural confidence. It was supernatural courage poured into ordinary people. In that Acts 4, that tells us that when the religious leaders saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were astonished because they knew them to be unschooled. I like that. And just ordinary men. Who's an ordinary man here? I like ordinary men. Huh? Well, yeah, no, we don't want any extra on the women. Just, you can be women of, well, you know what I mean. Ordinary men, we sometimes have to, the world wants to say, no, be a great man. Be the greatest, be the best. Do this, do that. My Bible says that he takes the ordinary man, and makes them extraordinary. Not in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes. And that's what we do. Far too many are trying to be extraordinary men, to stand out above the crowd, to perform. I can't perform. I'm sorry, I would love to be able to play the piano, but I can't. I can play the didgeridoo. Maybe one day I'll bring it back in. I did once. No. I tried. I nearly died. But, and I think there might have been a spider in my didg and I breathed that in. So I need to create a didg cleaner because I'm sure left like that is no good. But thanks for calling me out on that. That's great. Appreciate that. I can play the didgeridoo without circular breathing, so. But I can do the dingo and the kangaroo, just so you know. You can mock, but I kid you not. Next Sunday, who said that, Leanne? Yes, I could hear that was you. Hush now, family. Ordinary men. But when they'd been with Jesus and they were filled with the Spirit, they were no longer ordinary men. In 1 Timothy 1:7 it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." He doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but he gives us one of power and of love and a soundness of mind. If he can, please hear me this morning. The spirit of fear, if you have on your life, is not from God. The hesitation that keeps you silent at work, the embarrassment that keeps you quiet at the family table, the timidity that keeps your faith locked behind your front door, that is not from heaven. The spirit you have received is a spirit of power. Holy Spirit boldness is not the absence of fear. It is the presence of God being greater than your fear. People have fears left, right, and center. To stand here, sometimes you don't know the fear that can grip a person, and it can be such a short walk, but the fear, the comments in your head to think, how can you, who are you, blah, 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 lies of the enemy, spirit of fear can come over. But I know my boldness doesn't come from me. I know where my boldness comes from, and it's not from me because I'm an ordinary man and I'm proud of being an ordinary man. But I want to be an ordinary man in the hands of my God. I want to be an ordinary man filled with the Spirit of God because then and only then I know that what we share and what we do has an authenticity about it and it takes all the pressure off me because I have no power. But what lives in me is more power than this world can even contain. And what's in you is exactly the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We've just got to understand it. And we've got to start walking in it. Because that's our power to go. Holy Spirit boldness. This week, ask the Spirit to give you one bold step. One conversation that perhaps you've been avoiding. One name on your heart. One invitation to church. Are you worried about being embarrassed if you bring people to church? Yes, you should be. We probably will. But at least it'll be funny. At least you can maybe say, yeah, they are a weird bunch, but they're my bunch. We'll try our best to make people feel warm and comfortable. But we are who we are. And we don't want to put on any airs or graces. We are who we are. We're a bunch of people that just love Jesus. And we're doing our very best to share our faith. One prayer maybe you can offer someone. And I love when Bert and Cecily had their caravan up the road. Every morning there was testimony after testimony where they'd have this boldness and confidence to talk to people, to pray for people. When we had Night of Hope, they would come along to Night of Hope because they looked to offer prayer. There were prayer requests that we prayed for people that they would meet. They're in relationships still with people that may not don the doors of a church right now, but they still see these two because they have a boldness in their faith. That's what we're talking about. That's what I love. That's what we can look at and say, okay, if Bert can do it, I can do it. Yeah? Not in our own strength. Pentecost boldness is built in the checkout queues, in lunchrooms, in schools, in coffee dates, family lounge rooms. Take the step and watch the Spirit meet you there. Peter once saw Jesus walking on water. He was in the safety of a boat in a storm. Silly Peter. But he said, Jesus, tell me to come and I'm there. Come. So he gets out of a boat, walks on water, takes three steps, looks at himself and then starts sinking again. But the boldness of the Spirit got him out of the boat. He needs to be kept being filled. He needed to keep looking at Jesus. Keep fixing your eyes on him. Keep being filled. I reckon he could have walked right up to Jesus. But you know what? I don't know how many others were in the boat. Maybe all the other disciples were in the boat. But he's the only one that tried it. He's the only one that said, hey, God, give me some boldness here. If you say it, I'm there. So maybe we should try that. And maybe we can learn from each other in how we do it. The third one, and we'll close now, is the power to go. Everyone say go.
Go.
Go on then, go.
Go.
All authority in Matthew 28 says in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. The Holy Spirit was never given to make us comfortable. I'm sorry. He was given to us. He was given to make us commissioned. Pentecost is not a destination. It's just a doorway. The Spirit fills us so that we can move. The wind that came into the upper room blew. It blew the disciples into the streets, and the fire that rested on them set their feet running. The word go in the Great Commission, it's not a suggestion. It's not reserved for missionaries, for flying overseas. The Greek convey it as you are going. So the word go means as you are going. As you live, your ordinary life as ordinary people, make disciples. Your workplace is your mission field. Your neighborhood, your community is your Judea. Your family is your Jerusalem. Your social media feed is to the ends of the earth. I won't say stuff out of turn that might be confidential, but I'll say it because only nine, and you know, we'll hold our tongues. No, I won't. But there are people getting baptized this morning because of someone's social media feed. It's really amazing. What God is doing is amazing. If we had one size fits all, some people wouldn't be getting baptized this morning. But when we recognize that God's doing something in people's lives, we've got to accommodate what God's doing. We can't change it. We can't be too rigid. But there are some amazing stories that I believe are going to keep coming out of the waters of baptism and changes in people's lives. And once they change one people's life, it brings salvation to their household. Who knows what could happen? Exponential growth, exponential influence into people's lives, into families, into communities, into these communities. Dare we believe, dare we understand what we're dealing with here? Dare we be a part of kingdom? Dare we stop putting kingdom up in a banner to say we're not a part of, that's something that we can achieve, but understand that our name is on that banner, that our church is on that banner. We are about kingdom. Heaven is not waiting for better preachers. Heaven is not waiting. Heaven is waiting for willing feet. The kingdom does not advance through clever programs. It advances through spirit-filled believers who simply go. In Romans 10, it says, how then can they call on the one that had not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom that they had not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Holy Spirit-fired feet. And you just thought the tongues were on your head. Holy Spirit-fired feet ready to go. 3,000 were saved on Pentecost, not because the disciples had a perfect strategy, but because they had the Holy Spirit power and a willingness to open their mouths. The Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. If he fills you, he will send you. If he sends you, he will go with you. You are never alone on this thing called mission. The same Spirit empowers you, also goes before you. So maybe we could stop waiting for the right moment to go. You already have the right Spirit. Identify your mission field. Identify your mission. Who has God placed in your life that doesn't know Jesus yet? Maybe let's do some old school stuff. Write their name down. Pray for them by name each and every time. Look for one open door and walk through it. But this time, make sure you got the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost was never meant to be a single moment in history. It was meant to be an ongoing pattern of the church. The same Spirit who fell in Acts 2 is the same Spirit who fills this room. The same fire that rested on Peter is the fire that rests on every believer who will say yes to Jesus. Hope Gawler. The world is not waiting for more polished churches. We're never going to be that polished. We might have a fancy screen now, but we're not that polished. And that's not our aim. That's not our goal. We're not aimed to be this polished church. We want to honor it. It is waiting for a spirit-empowered one. That's what the world is waiting for. We've been given everything we need, the indwelling Spirit, the inerrant Word, the unstoppable name of Jesus, and a mission that cannot fail because it was authored in heaven. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Almighty. So today, on this Pentecost Sunday, hear the call of the Spirit afresh. Be filled. Be bold and go. Be filled because you cannot give what you have not received. Be bold because the Spirit in you is greater than the fear around you. Go because the kingdom advances through people who are willing to move. The wind is still blowing. The fire is still falling. The Spirit is still sending. And you, yes, you have the power to go. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us afresh on this Pentecost Sunday. Burn away every fear, every hesitation, every shadow of doubt. Clothe us with your power from on high. Make us a bold witness of Jesus Christ. Send us out to the world, to our world, to our community, to our city, to our nation. Use this church, Little Old Hope Chapel in Gawler, as a people on the move, advancing your kingdom and spreading the gospel with power. Lord, we say yes to the wind. We say yes to the fire. We say yes to the going in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Let's stand and sing. Just before we do that, you might have a question how to be filled. Get in the presence of God. Just get in the presence of God. You can have someone pray for you, which is awesome. Get in the presence of God. Wait in His presence. Sometimes less talking and more waiting. Be about His business. Just sit there and wait for the presence of God to fall. Holy Spirit, fall on this place this morning as hearts reach out for you. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.